Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was just one little acorn, but it landed right on the little chicken's head. And as she looked up, there came another. And that's all it took. Henny Penny was certain that the sky was falling. "I've got to warn the others," she thought to herself. And as she half ran and half flew from under the tree, she passed Ducky Lucky and Cocky Locky and Goosey Lucy. "The sky is falling, the sky is falling," she cried out again and again. And it wasn't long before all the fowl were following her. But from outside of the barnyard, seeing the commotion from his den, Foxy Loxy quickly followed as well. And when he heard them chanting, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling," the fox took advantage of their fear and screeched out from behind them, "Head to the forest. It's safe there." And they all turned to the woods to save their lives. Chicken Little's delusional fear had led them in a mere moment from safety right into the dangerous forest with Foxy Loxy close behind. This fable conveys the idea that you shouldn't believe everything that you hear, and simply going along with the crowd may well get you killed. Did you know that there's actually a disorder named after this fable? It's called Chicken Little Syndrome. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. You might even know someone who has this syndrome, who constantly overreacts and lives from one existential crisis to another one, believing, at least for that moment, that every single mishap, every little acorn, is leading to doom. You also probably know that before long, everyone stops listening to them. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. The readings are apocalyptic. They are filled with warnings, speaking about those many things that we will see before the end comes. And there are many real signs of the end of the age. There are many troubling things that are happening all around us. But if we are not careful in how we speak and act, we'll quickly give others the impression that our central message is not Christ crucified to save sinners from eternal death. But the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Instead of being sober and awake as the Lord calls us to be, instead of being wise by listening to His word, we'll all turn into Chicken Littles running this way and that, calling out the danger. And that's exactly what the wolf, the old evil foe, the wicked devil, wants from those who follow and are protected already by Christ. He wants us to panic. He wants us to flee the terror that we see with our eyes and the rumors that we hear with our ears and run away to where we're safe, to stop focusing on Jesus so that He can devour us. The disciples had wanted to know from Jesus when all these things were going to happen, what signs they could expect to see before the end of the age. They wanted to know when the temple stones would be cast down and broken. They wanted to know what the signs in the sun and the moon and the stars would mean. Here, today in the text, Jesus finally gets to the answer. "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory." But that's only part of the answer. It's the first part of our text for today, and we often attribute this part of the text to what we will see before the end comes. We're used to applying these words to the end of the world. But there's one word in that text that can greatly expand our understanding of these things. The text can also rightly be translated, and some of our translations do this, and they will see the Son of Man going in clouds with great power and glory. Instead of coming, they will see him going. Instead of this text first talking about the end of the world, this text seems to be representing and referring to the days of tribulation surrounding Jesus' crucifixion and death, and then his resurrection and his ascension, when they will see him going up from the earth in glory, ascending into heaven. This also makes more sense in our text with the next words that Jesus speaks. This generation will not pass away until all these things take place. This isn't to deny that the end will come. In fact, our text gets to that too, but in a moment. For in those days of Jesus' death, the angels in heaven wept and the sun did not shine. It was dark on that Good Friday. The moon became as blood, just as the prophet Joel said that it would. The temple curtain, with all of its constellations and embroidered stars, was torn in two from top to bottom, while the very foundations of the earth and heaven were shaken. Heaven and earth were shaken. Heavenly and earthly powers and authorities were shaken at God's death. Nothing like this had ever happened before, and nothing like it would ever happen again. But then, before this generation passed away, Jesus rose from the dead. And then 40 days later, he went up in the clouds with great power and glory. He also did what the text says next. He apostled, that is, he sent out his angels, his messengers, to gather his elect. This isn't the only place in Scripture that angel means apostle, evangelist, and pastor. Not all angels have wings. Some of them are simply messengers who speak God's word to you. Again, saying that this text is talking about the immediate events of Jesus' day, more so than the events of the end of the world, is not to deny that Jesus will return in the same way that he left, or that the heavens and the earth won't be shaken again on that last day. That's what Moses and Elijah tell the men as they watch Jesus ascend into glory, that they will see him returning in the very same way. It's what Paul reports to the Thessalonians in his apocalyptic texts. It's what John is given to see in the Revelation. What I hope you can see is that there is much more here in this text than at first meets the eye or passes through the ear. And this is how Jesus answers his disciples' worry about the end. The text should point to Jesus. It's on the cross that he reigns with power and glory. It's as he gives his body and blood to save sinners that he takes the kingdom for his own. This text has to point us to Jesus, to his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension for us, because that's the only way that we can watch and be prepared for the end. But too often, and for many people, for many pastors, this text brings on the Chicken Little syndrome. And every single little sign of the end of the age soon is blown out of proportion. And everyone is sent running for the hills. And no one is looking to Jesus anymore and to the safety that he gives in his word and sacraments. And then what happens? Many simply stop listening altogether. It's just another religious nut talking about the end. But you know the end is coming. You know the end is closer at hand now than it has ever been before. You know that Jesus says to watch and be prepared. Everything will change on that day. Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. As this church year ends, as you hear these apocalyptic readings, as we sing these end-time hymns, so we start new next week. From Advent to Christmas to Epiphany to Lent and Good Friday and to Easter, and then to the time of the church, to Pentecost. Moving through the life of Christ from prophecy to fulfillment, being carried along with him from life to death and into new life. But eventually, even this cycle will end. The seasons will stop. Time itself will cease. And yet the author of all life and his words will never pass away. This is what he says to us when he tells us to learn the lesson of the fig tree, to be on guard, to keep awake. Not like Chicken Little, panicking at every falling acorn, but like those whose lives depend upon Jesus, upon the one who will return to judge the living and the dead. We continually refocus our eyes on Jesus, on his cross, on his death and resurrection for our salvation. And how do we do this? By listening to the words of the Lord that will never pass away. Because you see, it's only in those things that God gives that we will be prepared for the end, no matter when it comes. I am continually dumbfounded by parents who plan for every aspect of their children's future, but are careless as to their eternity. How many adults have been taught the scripture since their youth and now have quickly rejected them for whatever feels good or seems right at the moment? How many people think that the wolf isn't really out there seeking to mislead and devour them, or maybe even don't believe a wolf exists? How many think that friendship with the world is of no consequence to your Christian faith? While we should not run around like Henny Penny trying to scare people into belief, because that's not even possible, still, Jesus would not warn us to stay awake and be prepared if the end were not near and if the danger for us and our children wasn't so great and so very real. In fact, the danger is so great and so real that the only solution was that the Son of God had to die. The foundations of the heavens and the earth had to be shaken in order to save you. That is the message that Jesus wants you to hear again and again, to keep listening to and watching and being prepared. He says the master of the house has gone away for a time, and we do not know when he will return, but he will return. He doesn't say to keep an eye on the sky, to watch every cloud, to call out every lightning bolt and thunderclap and earthquake. He says to stay awake, cling to his eternal word, and pray. Those things are hard enough. But the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Everywhere, the sky is falling. And if it is, so what? Are you surprised that the fallen creation continues to dive deeper and deeper into sin? Do you not know that all of these things will pass away and that your end will come too? But the word of the Lord endures forever. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. He ascended into heaven and lives eternally for you. He has not left you or forsaken you as everything else is crashing down around you, as the wolf seeks to devour you. He doesn't leave you to find your own way in this creation, listening to wise-sounding words from false Christs and their lying lips. He has called you in his words to be right here, where he cares for and feeds you with himself. For this is where he is. This is where he again gives you the gift of the forgiveness of sins that he has purchased and won for you, where he gives himself for you to eat and drink, to be nourished for this life and saved for eternal life. None of us should deny that the signs are all around. Some of them even sometimes hit us right on the head. But don't dwell on the signs, for they only stir up the emotions and make you afraid. And they may even cause you to run around sounding crazy. Instead, see the signs and then cling evermore to the word that never changes. Listen to Jesus and stay awake. He loves you. He has forgiven your sins. And in that forgiveness, you are prepared for the eternal day. He has promised. He is coming soon. And he will carry you home. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.